He's the pride of Fairbury, an average Joe. Bill Dolman, the professor.
I had a 6 ACT in 1967. One time I got an A and my grandma beat me for cheating.
Now with Hail Varsity Radio.
He is back to kick off hour two. It's the Pride of Fairbury. It's NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, the professor. At Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, we've got a ton to talk about. But are you in, as we are rounding up options and partners here for the Nine Beer, Nine Dog Challenge at a either Husker or Salt Dog game this summer?
Well, I think we got to go with the Huskers just because they're the ones that have added beer.
Okay, sure. I like it.
But the Salt Dogs have been pioneering beer at Haymarket Park for the last two-plus decades, so I think you give the nod to whatever the Salt Dogs want to serve. Now, my question is, are they serving beer or are they going to serve Guinness? Because there's a very different thing there. Or is there going to be like an homage to, you know, old days of, you know, Rosenblatt Stadium in Omaha, where maybe you get a nice cool Falstaff and Schlitz for your beers? What will the offerings be?
As long as they have Cornhead Lager, I'm a happy camper.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Bill,
of course.
I'll put it a Guinness word for you this summer.
Hail Varsity is powered by Cornhead Lager. Elijah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, without a doubt. That's
well done.
First option.
You'll never have a better beer at the ballpark.
Here's the thing, though. Could you stick to your guns for this nine-dog, nine-beer challenge?
In nine innings, by the way.
Nine innings. Thank you.
there is a time
could
limit.
You do Guinness? Could you do nine Guinnesses with nine hot dogs?
Oh my God!
And serve.
That sounds horrendous.
No, I love it. Look, I love it, but I like to savor it. So no, that would not probably happen. But I would be happy to go to the ballpark and have a Cornhead Lager.
Okay. Could you do nine though? I don't know that this is doable.
You know me. You know me.
Well, think about it. You go to the game last Friday, and that was, I believe, game time was 2 hours and 6 minutes. Now, granted, it was a 3-0 final.
Nine beers and two.
And, well, nine hot dogs. In 2 hours.
Awesome.
Just think about
this.
That's
a good Saturday.
But before you get in too deep, I just want you to think about anything that could happen. It could be 2 hours,
it could be
4 hours.
You're longer in the can than you are at the ball game.
Yeah.
Basically, what Connor is saying here is if that game time is what you're working with max 20 minutes an inning, minimum probably about 12 to 15 minutes.
And the rule is you can't double up in one inning.
No, you can't.
You have to go one per. You can't just like load up in the first inning just to have a break.
Oh.
You have to go...
It has to be one beer each inning.
Yes,
exactly.
Okay.
And you have probably 15 to 20 minutes in each inning. So that's the question is it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah. I could do this marathon.
Okay. Is there going to be like a Haymarket Park Huskow? Because things are going to get out of control at some point. And then is there going to be like a new taxi cab or Uber service just designated solely for people
who
should not be drinking and driving, right?
The ambulance.
You think
you don't want anybody
getting
in trouble with this promotion, all right?
Look, it's Elijah. He's in left field.
Where is his shirt?
he's reenacting Will Ferrell.
Well, I will say maybe we can even get some listeners involved, and we can make it a whole. We can get a whole section of people doing the nine beer goodness. Nine inning challenge.
Can we get that area?
Is there teamwork involved? I mean, or is it every man and woman for themselves?
I mean, if you're doing it with a bunch of people, like my friend group, it's every man for himself. You're not teaming up with anybody.
Yeah, see, okay, I'm thinking we got to have some signing of some legal papers. If you're going to enter, you promise to get an Uber and stay off the streets and not get yourself in trouble, okay?
Sure.
So good on Nebraska and the Salt Dogs and everybody coming together so that folks can have a little more fun at the ballpark, and you know, beer and baseball certainly go together. And you know, look, Haymarket Park has been one of the most wonderful additions to the capital city in the last two decades. And without Haymarket Park, the Haymarket area, Pinnacle Bank Arena, and all that's going on downtown that has made Lincoln one of the, I think, the crown jewel cities in the country, really. Without Haymarket Park and Jim Abel's vision, that's not happening. Maybe it would, But what Lincoln's got going on downtown right now.
It's a great setup.
I mean, that is by far, you know, the vision of Jim Abel, Charlie Meyer, and the powers in the at the university and within the city at that time, when they bought into what Jim Abel wanted to do for the city of Lincoln and bringing baseball back and giving people something to do in the summer and partnering up to give Nebraska baseball one of the crown jewel college ballparks still 20 plus years later. I mean, that was a stroke of visionary genius. And I say that as somebody who, you know, once held the position that Connor has been bestowed.
Mm. As do you the feel voice honored of the or disgusted by that?
But look, I really respect the Abel family and Jim and what they wanted to do. And they wanted to do it for the right reasons, mm-hmm. and not because they wanted a bunch of pats on the back and people to talk about them. They've always been behind the scenes. So I'm glad this little tiff has gotten put aside and people will enjoy the weekend. It's going to be great weather for baseball and a couple of beers.
Well, Vic in Denver is planning on bringing the RV. There's been suggestions in the stream, Hail Varsity YouTube, like and subscribe. So we're on video there. They want us to buy a whole section out. And there's that one section, I think, in right center that
the home run porch.
The home run porch.
They stick us, the students, out there for half of that is for students.
So this
is
the perfect spot for the nine beer.
Are you going to pull a Harry Carey and do a game this summer from the bleachers or from the berm or from the party deck? I think you should. Harry'd be shirtless and out in the left field area.
If we have the right power set up, maybe.
As a producer of the Salt Dogs, this sounds like a nightmare waiting to happen for me here in the studio. So
but it sounds like a good time for me. So, hey,
Connor's been knocked out and Joe's on the headset.
It's Elijah Herbal back here in the studio as Connor is six beers into the nine-beer challenge. We have lost Connor.
Bill, let's talk quarterback here. Some good discussion earlier in hour one, and a lot of the folks in the stream, we were talking about Harburg and what's realistic for him. Really good story from Adam Rittenberg with Matt Rhule yesterday as he was at the media session, and you treat them all like fourth rounders is kind of the takeaway. There's no special treatment, and they all got here. That's the premise, so work with them, get them better. We're talking about Harburg with the talent, the toughness, the athleticism, and, you know, what's realistic as far as him continuing to work on his throwing. We just don't know, right? We don't know how good a thrower Harburg can be, whether it be in a backup role, in a Taysom Hill role, or as a starter. Now, I wanted to get your take here. I think he's a guy, if he puts his mind to something, I'm not saying he's going to win the job, but I think he's going to be – he was competent last year. I think he could be good when called upon as a thrower if he keeps working at it to go along with everything else he brought to the table.
Well, first of all, good on him for his loyalty to dear old Nebraska U, right? He was a really good, what's Kearney Catholic, Class C1 quarterback and probably on par with the best quarterbacks in Omaha that year that he came out. But he could have very easily, after that first year or two that he was with Scott Frost and Mark Whipple and company, just said, nobody cares, right? That was the famous story last year, was he wasn't even in the quarterback meetings, hardly practiced, but yet he had a certain loyalty and a belief in Matt Rhule that, you know, whatever they were telling him, he believed him, and they came through on it. Now, I said this a long time ago on the Average Joe Sports Show, where did we first see Heinrich Harburg last year? Tight end H-back. Mm-hmm. And I still think that's his future. And maybe he knows that. Maybe he knows that if I'm going to go make some money at the next level, I do need to work on that position. And we talk about Taysom Hill so much that it's become cliche with Heinrich Harburg, you know. But I think that he's got coaching now. They've got a quarterback's coach. So maybe we're going to see a market improvement in him. We know that he's tough. He's got experience more so than the two kids. Mm-hmm. So he does have that going for him. But good on him for sticking around, believing in what Matt Rhule was telling him, taking advantage of the opportunities that he had last year. And maybe with a QB coach, we will see a different quarterback next year. But I still think that while he may play some quarterback in college, he has the potential to play a lot of H-back in the NFL. And I think that's if he is not set on quarterback and he swallows his pride and understands that, he'll be a rich man someday.
Is the goal for you, Bill, through this summer training regimen, for Heinrich Harburg to become a better thrower of the football or to become a better all-around football player? And I think you know what I mean. Like, is it about Heinrich Harburg? Does he need to improve the throwing motion to get on the field, or does he need to improve on being a do-it-all kind of guy to get on the field?
Well, I think as his career goes on, it's the latter, right? Because if he is going to be that sort of dual threat for whatever that is in the NFL, and there aren't many guys like that I can even think of. Hill's the one that everybody talks about, right? But if he's going to have that role in the NFL, as great of an athlete as he is, with the size that he has, and obviously the toughness that he showed last year, if he's going to be that player that they utilize as the number three reserve quarterback, a number two tight end, and a number one H-back, eventually he is going to have to get to be a much better thrower, right? The way he threw the ball last year that's not going to be good enough. I mean, he's going to be a strict H-back tight end. But I think over time with coaching, he's going to be a valuable guy to be in there to throw the football around. He might be on the field at the same time with one of the other two guys and still be called upon to throw the ball.
I kind of want to steal a point that Elijah made earlier, so I'm going to give you credit for this, Elijah. The threat of just having him out on the field, not necessarily having the ball in his hands, I mean, how much do you think that would make a defense work, assuming it's a Raiola or a Kalen starting, just having him out there on, say, a third and five and he's in the slot? Like, does that, in your mind, make the defense think a little bit more? Does that screw them up a little bit? How does that work?
I think it definitely is a he's almost like his own triple option, right? He can throw the ball adequately. I think he can probably catch the ball. I think he had a couple of receptions last year. I would imagine that you might be able to put him in the slot and run the ball with him, right? Maybe on some type of a reverse or some type of elongated sweep. But also add another with his size. And what is he? 6'5", 225.
And he can fly.
And he's tough. I mean, he can block. So you have somebody that it's not just that he can go out there and throw some and catch some. I think he can run the football and could be an effective, you know, guy on the other side of an option pitch. And he might be better catching an option pitch than he was at delivering one. But I also think when you're talking about getting somebody downfield to block a linebacker or punish a defensive back, given his size and speed, I think he has a lot of weapons and a lot of uses that you have to be cognizant of where he is on the field and what he might do. Even if it is, like I say, as a decoy and a guy who's going to block a linebacker, seal off a defensive end, I think that he brings a lot to the table that, I mean, I hope he doesn't have his heart set. Remember Eric Crouch so many years ago that I'm going to be a quarterback in the NFL. That's all he wanted to be, and eventually they kind of talked him into being a wide receiver, and it was kind of a half-hearted attempt. But or Tim Tebow is another example of that. But I think if Heinrich Harburg understands the long-term possibilities for his career, he brings a lot to the table in the immediate, in one single play, as well as what he could do in his career.
Bill, we've talked quarterback. We have talked the nine dog, nine beer, nine inning challenge. The next challenge is, where are we going to...
It's all the hot topics in sports.
Are we going to figure out a way to glean a little bit of the scrimmage? Is there a parking garage area that, or a secret viewing area with all your years with Nebraska to get Saturday morning checked out?
Okay, you do realize that with the largest staff in college football, that there are those who do have sniper skills. So there will be people on top of the press box, just like they're positioned at the White House, that if there is anything coming into the
flight
pattern. So
no ball in the front yard?
I'm pretty sure that Matt Rhule and company has it taken care of. There ain't nobody going to see what's going on the scrimmages. Unless you're like me when I was back in school and I had the high-tech responsibility with Big Ben Boyle, my buddy out of York. We would be called upon on Friday afternoons. I think I've told you this story
before. To get Devaney ice?
To bring the that was another one too. That's for us. Hail Varsity After Dark. So we would be called upon on Friday afternoons to take this cassette recorder, and for you Gen Zers, look it up. We would take this cassette player and go up to the press box, and we had a cassette recorder or a cassette of recordings of like a high school football crowd noise. And then we took a microphone, and then we would point it toward the speaker on the cassette player, and we would just hit play, and you'd hear, throw the ball, crowd noise, like before the Oklahoma game or the Colorado game. And one time, after doing this for several years, security comes up and is going to usher me out of the press box.
Oh, no.
And there's like two armed security guards that come up there and say, you got to get out of here. And I said, okay, that's fine. But when the tape runs out after 5 minutes, you got to rewind it and hit play and just make sure the microphone is pointed. But I'm gone. The guy looks at it and I go, yeah, I'm the crowd noise in the stadium. And he goes, we'll be right back. And they let me stay. And of course, then we went on to win some national championships, but that's another part of history. That.
Well, love thanks. Bill's yes, contributions.
Do you think if Bill wasn't up there running that, do you think Nebraska would have won the national championships? Really makes you wonder.
There's too many parallels with the Pride of Fairbury.
But it was funny. Yeah, we need you to go do crowd noise in the stadium. So, you know, that was part of the job.
Bill Dolman at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, we'll see you soon. Thanks again.
I thought we were going to have a lesson on Fairbury brand hot dogs, but I guess we'll save that for another time.